Here's your KNDY weatherology forecast for northeast Kansas and southeast Nebraska. Even more sunshine today with our high nearing 75. Staying clear and very mild overnight tonight with a low around 37. Warming up even more throughout Wednesday, sunshine with a high nearing 78. And a low around 31 with clear skies over Wednesday night. Cooling down as we head into Thursday, sunny with a high nearing 57. I'm forecaster Kara Foster. Currently it's 40 degrees.
Kansas Mid-America Network News. A rollover crash slowed traffic but resulted in no serious injuries early Monday on I-470 in southwest Topeka, authorities said. The crash was reported around 6:33 a.m. Monday on eastbound 470 near southwest 25th Street overpass. Topeka police said a GMC Acadia Sport utility vehicle was traveling eastbound on I-470 when it struck a parked Chrysler 200 four-door car that was unoccupied and parked along the right or west shoulder of the roadway. After the collision, the GMC rolled at least once before coming to a rest on its wheels facing southeast. The driver of the GMC Acadia escaped serious injury in the crash. Police said the driver was wearing a seatbelt. The number of confirmed coronavirus cases in Kansas increased by 479 to a total of 766,045, the state health department reported on Monday. The state reported 9 additional COVID-19 deaths for a total of 7,946. This is Kansas Mid-America Network News.
Kansans with disabilities and senior citizens are 3 times more likely to be crime victims. If you are a Kansas senior citizen or a Kansan with a disability and you are a crime victim, contact the Disability Rights Center of Kansas at 877-776-1541. We may be able to help you with your civil legal matter. Contact us at 877-776-1541 or drckansas.org. Once again, if you are a Kansas senior or a Kansan with a disability who is a crime victim, contact the Disability Rights Center of Kansas at 877-776-1541 or drckansas.org. We may be able to help you with your civil legal matter. The content of this radio ad is sponsored by the Disability Rights Center of Kansas and this station. It is supported by a VOCA grant awarded through the Federal Office for Victims of Crime as administered by the Kansas Governor's Grants Program. It does not necessarily reflect the views of the Office of the Kansas Governor or the U.S. Department of Justice.
A Kansas felon prohibited from having a weapon made a court appearance last week after police found numerous weapons at his residence. Alejandro Morales, 19, of Wichita, is charged with 3 counts of criminal possession of a weapon by a convicted felon. That's according to the Sedgwick County District Attorney's Office. On February 16th, the Wichita Police Violent Crimes Community Response Team officers spotted Morales leaving in a vehicle from a home in the 1700 block of South Elizabeth in Wichita. That's according to Officer Trevor Macy. A traffic stop was conducted and Morales was taken into custody. Upon serving the warrant on the residence on Elizabeth Street, officers located 4 handguns, including an AK-47 pistol. A 46-year-old Leavenworth man was convicted Monday in connection with a 2018 stabbing and shooting incident. Marquise Brandon Holmes was convicted in a one-day jury trial of aggravated battery, according to Leavenworth County Attorney Todd Thompson. Holmes will face sentencing next month. This is Kansas Mid-America Network News.
No two farms are alike, and at Blue Valley Insurance, we understand that. That's why you'll get farm insurance coverage tailored just for you. We look at your individual situation and help you figure out the coverages that make the most sense for your farm, all at an affordable price. No matter what you grow or how big or small your farm, we can help. Your roots are in farming. Ours are in protecting you. Blue Valley Insurance in Lynn, Greenleaf, Hanover, and Marysville.
Nebraska Mid-America Network News. An 83-year-old man who was hit by a car while crossing a Lincoln street nearly 7 weeks ago has died from his injuries. The Lincoln Journal Star reports that Russell Boardman of Lincoln died last week. Police say Boardman was in a marked crosswalk as he walked across South Street around 5:30 p.m. on January 8th when he was hit by a car. Police say the 40-year-old driver of the car was not under the influence or distracted at the time of the crash. The Journal Star cites no citations have been issued in the crash. COVID-19 hospitalizations and cases continue to plummet in Nebraska following last month's peak, and state health officials are optimistic they will improve yet more into the summer. Nebraska's chief medical officer, Dr. Gary Anton, said Monday that people can start thinking about, quote, getting back to normal, unquote. The improved numbers are a relief for the state's hospitals that were pushed to the limit when hospitalizations rose as high as 767 on January 28th. This is Nebraska Mid-America Network News.
Skilled trade workers are the backbone of every community and also the Army National Guard. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and in every other trade needed to accomplish the mission. These soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Kansas Army National Guard. Aired by the Kansas Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Reporting local news, I'm Bruce Dierking. Marshall County Commissioners last Tuesday heard a report from the Public Works Administrator on four bridge projects. They feel the county bridge crew can repair a Herkimer Township bridge on Deer Trail Road and construct the Franklin Township bridge north of home on 16th Road, 2 miles north of Indian Road. Commissioners unanimously approved bids of $150,000 for a bridge in Clear Fork Township on Cyclone Lane, and $160,000 for a bridge in Elm Creek Township, 5.5 miles south on the West River Road. Commissioners placed a call to the Gage County Chairman of the Supervisors to discuss a shared bridge in Oquito Township on State Line Road. Supervisors had previously not had interest in cost-sharing construction of a new structure. They were told the road was closed. The road's not closed. The gate previously up has been removed. There are several landowners affected by the structure, and the current bridge is unable to handle heavy equipment, including grain trucks, concrete trucks for construction of a nearby residence, and etc. Eric Kamen advised there's a permanent easement on file encompassing these properties, but he will take the information to the Gage County Board of Supervisors. Leslie Jeter presented a job description for review, and commissioners voted to approve a stipend in the amount of $24,000 to Jeter as 2021 administrator for American Rescue Plan funds, and approved $1,000 per month effective January this year through the end of the fund administration, voting as well to create a Marshall County Pandemic Grant Fund administrator job title. Commissioners met twice in special session last week for interviews and to discuss the county health administrator, RN, position. Marshall County Attorney Megan Vorchek announced her plans to resign effective March 23rd, citing personal reasons last week. She was appointed by the governor to fill the unexpired term of Laura Johnson McNish, who stepped aside in July 2019 to accept the position of district magistrate judge in Doniphan County. Washington County commissioners were advised Severe Weather Awareness Week begins March 7th with a statewide drill March 8th. It was agreed this is a good opportunity for all county offices to practice what they would do in the event of severe weather. Washington County valuations will be mailed to property owners March 1st. The appraiser reported the average property valuation has increased by 5%. He emphasized that does not mean every property increased 5%, but that represented a countywide average. A request was presented by JBN Telephone for grant funding to expand broadband access in the rural Barnes area. Nemahal County commissioners met last week with representatives of the Grain Belt Express Transmission Line project, proposed to deliver wind-generated energy from southwest Kansas to Illinois and Indiana. The route would pass through northeast Kansas, and a road use agreement is being sought. Commissioners were advised roads and bridges would not take as much wear and tear as wind farm projects, with the transmission line construction as loads are less heavy.
Linda K. Price, age 59, of Marysville, passed away Saturday. Funeral service Wednesday, 10 a.m. at the United Methodist Church in Marysville, burial in the Marysville City Cemetery. Visitation Tuesday, 10 until 9. Family will greet friends Tuesday from 4 until 6 at Kinsley Mortuary of Marysville, in charge of arrangements for Linda Price. Marjorie L. Mingy, age 92, of Hanover, passed away Thursday. Funeral service Thursday, 10 a.m. at the Zion Lutheran Church, Hanover. Burial in the Hanover City Cemetery. Visitation Wednesday, 11 until 8, at the Hanover Mortuary, in charge of arrangements for Marjorie Mingy. Howard P. Miller, age 91, of Blue Rapids, passed away Sunday. Funeral service Friday, 2 p.m. at the First Baptist Church in Blue Rapids. Burial in the Prospect Hill Cemetery. Visitation Thursday, noon until 8. Family will greet friends Thursday from 6 until 8 at the Christy Anders Funeral Home in Waterville in charge of arrangements for Howard Miller. Charles L. Brown, Sr., age 76, of Washington, passed away Wednesday. Funeral services at a later date with Award Funeral Home in charge for Charles Brown, Sr. Justin L. Hilton, age 44, of Greenleaf, passed away Wednesday. Funeral services pending with Award Funeral Home in charge of arrangements for Justin Hilton. On the Marshall County Senior Citizens Lunch menu today, ham, scalloped potatoes, green beans, and diced pears. Tomorrow, fish sticks, cornbread casserole, broccoli and cauliflower salad, and melon mix. KNDY News Time, 7:15.
At United Bank and Trust, we get it. Bank hours don't always fit into your schedule. With the United Bank and Trust mobile banking app, you can bank anytime, anywhere. At home, at work, or anywhere in between, you can perform convenient and secure transactions like mobile check deposit, transfer money between accounts, or see your balance instantly. Find it by searching for United Bank and Trust mobile app in your app store. Mobile banking with United Bank and Trust. It's banking for your way of life. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Here's your KNDY weatherology forecast for northeast Kansas and southeast Nebraska. Temperatures will continue to rise throughout the region today. Conditions will continue to stay very dry and mild with lots of sunshine. Typically for early March, we can expect to see highs in the mid-30s and mid-40s throughout Iowa, the lower to upper 40s throughout Nebraska, the upper 40s and mid-50s throughout Kansas, and the mid-40s to mid-50s throughout Missouri. For today, we can expect to see highs in the upper 40s and lower 70s throughout Iowa, the upper 60s and mid-70s throughout Nebraska, the mid-70s throughout Kansas, and the lower 70s throughout Missouri. Temperatures will continue to stay very mild overnight tonight, with lows in the mid-20s and lower 30s throughout Iowa and Nebraska, the upper 20s and lower 30s throughout Kansas, and the lower to mid-30s throughout Missouri. I'm forecaster Kara Foster.
Average high temperature early March, 50, record high on this date, 85, the average low 26, and the record low 3 degrees below zero. Sunset this evening, 6:19, sunrise in the morning, 7 a.m. That's check of the morning news and weather for this Tuesday, Shrove Tuesday, the 1st of March. KNDY News Time 7:17. I'm Bruce Dierking reporting.
Frank Chiropractic Center in Marysville welcomes new patients. Dr. Michael Frank can evaluate, diagnose, and recommend treatment options that can alleviate pain, trigger your body's ability to heal, and work to ensure your optimal health and wellness. Call or stop by today for your appointment. With Frank Chiropractic Center, 15th and Broadway, phone 562-3054.
Baseball opening day, not dead yet. Hello, this is Rich Cantu on sports. After an entire day of negotiations that ran into late last night, still no deal between Major League Baseball owners and locked out players. The two sides are reportedly moving closer to an agreement, but we've heard that before. To the NBA, Ja Morant had his way with the Spurs, dropping 52 to lead the Grizzlies to a 118-105 win.
Adams baseball pass, one of two. Morant catches.
Oh!
In midair!
Oh!
Oh my God!
My goodness!
He caught it in midair! He caught it in midair and floated it up and in! You have got to be kidding me! Ja Morant is at an absolutely another level!
On WMFS, Morant is the first Grizzlies player ever to have a 50-point game. Meanwhile, the Heat widened its lead in the East, knocking off the undersized and second-place Bulls 112-99. More NBA, Karl-Anthony Towns drained a clutch three late to help the Timberwolves beat the Cavaliers.
Terminates the dribble. Now Towns with it with five, with four. Towns straight away on the three. It drops in. How clutch was that from Karl-Anthony Towns?
on WCCO, 127-122 the final. On the college hardboards, third-ranked Baylor won a close one over number 21, Texas.
Team up top.
He's in trouble.
Yes, he is. Akinjo finds Brown. Corner pass to Meyer, who dumps it down low to Thamba for the high percentage shot.
On ESPN Radio, 68-61 the final. 12th-ranked Texas Tech survived a late surge by Kansas State, holding on for a 73-68 victory. And Jaime Jaquez dropped 30 on Washington as number 17 UCLA cruised to a 77-66 win. To the ice of the NHL, Jake DeBrusk scored the third goal of his hat trick with less than a minute gone in the second. The Bruins walloped the Kings 7-0. This is Rich Cantu, ABC Sports.
Sub-state basketball tip-offs Monday night. Marysville girls' season comes to an end, falling in Hiawatha 51-46. Marysville boys advance, defeating Hiawatha 79-59. Marysville takes on top seed Royal Valley Thursday evening at 7:30 at Silver Lake. Bottom of the bracket, second seed Nemahal Central over Rossville 79-59. Third seed Sabetha over Silver Lake 47-35. Nemahal Central and Sabetha meet in the 6 o'clock tip-off Thursday at Silver Lake. Class 2A in girls' action, Valley Heights ran past Republic County 70-15. Valley Heights' top seed will face Bennington Thursday evening at 7:30 at Republic County. Fourth seed Bennington over Sacred Heart 46-44. Bottom of the bracket, seventh seed with Muncie knocked off second seed El Saline 43-33. And it was 6th seed St. Mary's knocking off 3rd seed Harrington 42-35 to advance. Valley Heights boys, the number 6 seed tip-off at 3rd seed Wabunsee Tuesday evening at 7.
Hitchpin is changing the way producers work together by connecting them with the services and resources they need when they need them. Why spend hours on the phone and browsing classifieds? Try Hitchpin's free agriculture app to keep you connected to producers and services anytime. You save the transaction fee by going to hitchpin.com and type in keyword AgView at checkout. Again, keyword AgView for no transaction fee on hitchpin.com. Hitchpin, your ag marketplace.
This is an Ag Business Update from AgView.net. I'm Ken Rogers. The U.S. Agency for International Development and State Department dispatching $54 million in food, water, hygiene supplies, blankets, and other emergency goods to Ukrainians trying to survive the invasion of Russian troops. USAID said the U.S. is the single largest donor of humanitarian assistance in Ukraine, and since the conflict began in 2014, the United States has provided nearly $405 million to vulnerable communities across Ukraine, including nearly $169 million from USAID, nearly $236 million from the Department of State. Keep in mind, the U.S. is also providing military assistance to the Ukraine. Just last week, Secretary of State Antony Blinken authorized another $350 million worth of military assistance for the beleaguered country. That comes on top of $260 million in military assistance that Blinken authorized late last year. Oklahoma GOP Senator Jim Imhoff, longtime staunch critic of the U.S. biofuel industry, announcing that he'll retire next January. Inhofe is 87 and the top Republican on the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee, which oversees the EPA. When the 2007 energy bill passed enacting the existing renewable fuel standard, Inhofe called the RFS remarkably flawed and has repeatedly pressed the agency about refiners' concerns. A special election for Imhoff's seat will be held in November. He had planned to retire at the end of a term in 2026. And a common criticism of the Biden administration is that not been focused on entering into tariff-cutting new trade agreements. But U.S. Trade Representative Katherine Tai pushed back on Friday, playing down the importance of the pact the U.S. lawmakers and ag groups continue to advocate. She said in a conversation with Secretary Vilsack at the Ag Outlook Conference, trade agreements can be an important part of the trade program, but not the only tool. She said it isn't even necessarily the most effective tool either. That's an Ag Business Update from AgView.net. I'm Ken Rogers.
Ag News from the Mid-America Ag Network. I'm Andy Hoosier, and here's our latest Larry Stecklane report with our partners over at Cake News.
Well, friends, it looks like our Secretary of Agriculture, Vilsack, has got some pretty good interesting information that I don't know if it'll ever mean to anything or not. What will the outcome be just because he says he wants the Department of Justice to investigate input prices? Let's hope they do. He says he wants to ensure that seed companies and other input suppliers are not using the current situation in agriculture to raise prices unfairly. And I quote him saying, it's important for us to ask questions about whether all these increases, every penny of those increases, is justified based on disruptions, based on supply, based on the normal economics. And he was speaking at the National Association of State Departments of Agriculture, and he was serious. He said a lot of these factors are things that the Department of Agriculture, whether at the state level or at the federal level, can't do much about. But other moves, maybe. Creating and expanding markets and climate smart ag and new export markets. We'll have to wait and see. In the meantime, the chief economist at the USDA, Seth Myers, spoke at the crop insurance convention, hinting that the insurance price guarantees for corn in 2022 may be around $5.80 a bushel. Soybeans, possibly $14.11. And he says the ARC and PLC programs' projected price guarantees are reflective of increased demand. Enrollment and election farmers for ARC and PLC runs through March 15th. Hey, will this be the year that 100% bonus depreciation on farm machinery goes kaput? The bonus will drop by 20% every year until there's no bonus depreciation starting in 2027. Something to keep in mind for your taxes. See you on the next TechLine Report.
Ag News from the Mid-America Ag Network.
At Midwest Kia, we're celebrating President's Day all month long with a better way to buy. Receive the presidential treatment with a promise of exceptional value, new car inventory arriving daily, and transparent pricing. And February is the month to take advantage of the market and get a sweetheart of a deal, while every trade-in, including yours, is at its peak value. Worried you won't find the right new Kia for you? Midwest Kia has that problem solved for you, as we have over 200 new Kias available today. All with Kia's amazing 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. Reserve one in your name today with our simple and transparent reservation process. It's all part of reimagining the way a car dealership should be at Midwest Kia. Simple, transparent, fast. It's a better way to buy. Visit Midwest Kia or MidwestKia.com and receive the presidential treatment and a sweetheart of a deal. You'll see why people are singing.
We want to see ya in a Midwest Kia.
Today, we have a fresh calendar page, and we'll kick it off with our March preview. That's next on the Old Farmer's Almanac Radio Report.
If you're a farmer or a rancher, chances are you've thought about joining Kansas Farm Bureau. So, what's stopping you? Your membership means you have a seat at the table when it comes to the issues that affect your farm. Things like trade, taxes, water, and regulations. The state's largest farm advocacy organization brings your message to policy decision makers at the county, state, and national level. The voice of agriculture becomes your voice and fights for Kansas farmers and ranchers. And a Kansas Farm Bureau membership includes other benefits. For about $50 a year, you'll receive discounts on equipment and supplies, cell phone plans, financial and legal support, home and office supplies, and more. You'll also receive Kansas Living, a quarterly lifestyle magazine featuring real stories of farmers and producers around the state, plus great recipes, crafts, and things to see and do in Kansas. Join us today. Visit kfb.org/farmer-rancher to learn more.
With more practical tips and useful advice, here is the Old Farmer's Almanac Radio Report for Tuesday, March 1st, the 60th day of the year. Johnny Cash and June Carter were married on this day in 1968. The Romans named March after their god of war, Mars. His planetary namesake is easily viewed this month, shining with an orange glow and well up by dusk. Later in March, we'll be setting our clocks ahead, celebrating Ireland's patron saint and hopefully spotting the first daffodils, robins, and earthworms. Much of the country, however, may still have a good dose of winter to contend with. Some of recent history's most epic snowstorms have occurred in March, including the East Coast blizzards of 1888 and 1914 and the North Plains storm of 1941, which some call the worst of the modern era. That is the Old Farmer's Almanac Radio Report. You can find your local forecast online anytime. Just go to almanac.com.
728 from KNDY. 37 degrees this hour.
Highs warming into the 70s for today.
Kansas Mid-America Network Sports. Davion Warren had 23 points and made the go-ahead basket with a minute 5 left as 12th-ranked Texas Tech finished undefeated at home with a 73-68 win over Kansas State. The 23-7 Red Raiders have won 21 consecutive home games, including all 18 this season. Mike McGurl had 18 points for Kansas State. Up next for Kansas State, they're at home Saturday against Oklahoma, which could become the third Big 12 opponent this year to sweep its regular season series over the Wildcats. The 2022 NJCAA Region 6 Men's Basketball Division 1 bracket is set for games for tonight. At 7 o'clock, Dodge hosts Colby. Also, 7 o'clock, Garden City hosts Coffeyville. And once again, 7 o'clock in El Dorado, Butler hosts Kelly. At 7:30 tonight, Hutchinson hosts Pratt. The winner of this tournament advances to the 2022 NJCAA Men's Division 1 Basketball Championship, March 14th through the 19th in Hutchinson. This is Kansas Mid-America Network Sports.
Hey Wildcat fans, pack Bramlage with purple to celebrate your K-State women's basketball seniors as we host West Virginia at 6:30 p.m. Wednesday, March 2nd for the final home game of the season. General admission tickets start at just $5 when purchased in advance. And Wildcat 4-packs of 4 tickets and 4 $10 concession vouchers are available for only $38, a savings of $22. Visit kstatesports.com or call 1-800-221-CATS to get your tickets today.
Marysville Bulldogs boys basketball team ran away from Hiawatha, winning 79-59 in 3A first-round sub-state play Monday. Marysville, a 10-point first quarter and first half lead, was up 62-46 heading down the stretch and dominated the ballgame, led by Jack Lauer with 21 points. Peyton Smith, a strong performance at 19, 13 of those in the first half. 8 Marysville players scored as the Bulldogs improved to 10-11. Knocking off fourth seed Hiawatha, paced by Marlo Alcalde with 15 points, 12 assists for Joel Bryan fouling out late, and Carson Gilbert. 79-59, Marysville boys win the nightcap. Marysville girls lost the free throw line in a 51-46 decision that went to second seed Hiawatha. Red Hawks 21 of 30, the line Marysville 4 of 7. 51-46, a good fight by Amy Renier's team, finishing 9-12, led by Madison Runnelbaum with 12 points. Ashley Price scored 11. Bella Rader off the bench with 10. Hiawatha paced by Clara Lindstrom and Darcy Lierce with 16 each. Sarah Madsen adds 11. Hiawatha 51, Marysville 46. Marysville boys face top seed Royal Valley, a convincing winner over winless Jeff West in first round play Monday. It's a Thursday semifinal at Silver Lake. We'll have it live on KNDY. Reporting for KNDY Sports, I'm Bruce Dierke.
Substate basketball tip-offs Monday night. Marysville girls' season comes to an end, falling in Hiawatha 51-46. Marysville boys advance, defeating Hiawatha 79-59. Marysville takes on top seed Royal Valley Thursday evening at 7:30 at Silver Lake. Bottom of the bracket, second seed Nemahal Central over Rossville 79-59. Third seed Sabetha over Silver Lake 47-35. Nemahal Central and Sabetha meet in the 6 o'clock tip-off Thursday at Silver Lake. Class 2A in girls action. Valley Heights ran past Republic County 70-15. Valley Heights top seed will face Bennington Thursday evening at 7:30 at Republic County. Fourth seed Bennington over Sacred Heart 46-44. Bottom of the bracket, 7th seed Wabunsee knocked off 2nd seed El Saline 43-33, and it was 6th seed St. Mary's knocking off 3rd seed Harrington 42-35 to advance. Valley Heights boys, the number 6 seed tip-off at 3rd seed Wabunsee Tuesday evening at 7.
Catch Kansas Jayhawk basketball tonight on KNDY 95.5. Jayhawk basketball live on KNDY 95.5.
Something wrong. I say nothing. I was just thinking how we don't have a song.
sleeping that day. Had gone all wrong and been trampled on and lost and thrown away. Got to the hallway, well on my way to my loving bed. I almost didn't notice all the roses and the note that said, our song is a slam and scream door, sneaking out late, tapping on your